All right, so when I first came to Ablaze, I wanted to get super involved and not just, I guess, legalistically or out of my own willpower, grunt, or might, but out of desire to do so and with a passion. And as I was attempting to do that, I still felt a little bit hindered by a lack of connection. And that was mainly because of, you know, interests and stuff. Like, I'm not super into, like, gaming or anime, but, like, I'm also not a frat bro. So, like, where do I go if here works? Because you guys have some sound doctorate and very good leaders, and I was touched by that, so I decided to stay. But anyway, you might be in a similar situation, or you might just be like, sometimes I just don't want to go to things, or I just am tired, or I'm super busy. Both of those are me, too, like, half the time, so... that's just the case and how things work. But I found myself asking, like, what motivation do I have to get super involved in a church culture that I don't super fit into or that I'm not always super willing to get involved in? If you feel the same way, then hopefully this message will help you and God will use it in your life. So, yeah. We'll start with.
Turn on that stuff.
Oh. Sorry. Okay. So we're on the Ablaze 25. We did a bunch of other ones, and now we're on the New Testament church model. What if I don't feel connected? So we're going to start with Acts 2:42. Someone can get 42 through 44. And someone else get 45 through 47. And so while you're waiting, these verses are like a word picture of what the New Testament believers' lives looked like shortly after Jesus ascended. And this is the model that we try to follow and emulate here at Ablaze. So anyone got 42 through 44? Jason.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common.
Okay, and anybody got 45 through 47? Paulina?
They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved.
All right, so from that, you see there's a lot of stuff that they did on a day-to-day basis. They ate together. They hung out. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God. They're praying together. Providing for each other's physical needs. I know that's something that happens here too. You know, somebody needs housing or, like, you know, transportation or something. Somebody reaches out and they're set. They praise God together too. And that's all good stuff that we want to do. So we desire to emulate this model. Also, it yielded some pretty cool results that you also see there. So they were in awe of God and those teachings, and that's a good thing because that's going to motivate us to do even cooler things for God if we're just like, whoa, that's so cool. That's it really is. And people's physical needs were being fulfilled, of course. There was praise going on. We always want to be praising God. So if this New Testament church model leads to praise, that's good too. And the cool thing, really cool one, is the Lord was adding to their number daily. So the verses before the ones that we just read talked about how 3,000 people accepted Christ, became Christians in one day before that. So that was the climate of the New Testament believers, as you know, there weren't that many of them to start out with. But still, it led to more people joining the group in this cycle of giving to each other and fellowshipping with one another. So that's something we also desire to emulate. So how do we do that? We provide opportunities for ourselves to do these sort of things here at Ablaze. So we got the Friday night dinners and Bible studies. Those are like good fellowship times. Bible studies, you get into the Word, you really learn how to interpret the Bible. Sunday mornings, that's where you are now, of course, so you could, you know, tell what's going on here. And subtle plug, so AOK evangelism is like, it's more relational than you might think. There's a lot of having conversations with people, with each other. Think of it like a Friday night dinner, and you haven't, if you've been to one of those, if you haven't, then want to check that out too, because they're cool. But you're having a conversation with someone, and there's ice cream, there's dessert, and but it's a person who isn't connected with the place, so it's like, that's just really cool to get people into that community, into that fellowship, who haven't necessarily seeked it out, so hopefully they might desire to have more. So, and then there's other stuff, because the New Testament believers met daily, so you can just have like impromptu things. Sometimes people go to lunch, we do stuff after church, there's a potluck that we do, there's one down there, there's one going on after church today. Went hiking one time, that was cool, there was caves, and then they went hiking last weekend too, that was cool too. And then there was the time, this is a really cool picture, that was the time Walter and Blue's Orkin and Jeremy got baptized, and that was really cool because there are a bunch of people behind the camera that you can't see who were there, and it was just, you could just feel the love of the air. It just makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. So, yeah, so here at Ablaze, we believe that all of this stuff is part of our relationship, discipleship, and mission, and we build each other up to do that sort of stuff, and then God, like, upholds it all. So we love God first, love each other second, and then all of the stuff in the middle goes in the middle, and it just happens because of that. So, all right, so the thing is, though, that sometimes this might not be easy. It might require a sacrifice. Can anyone think of some things that you might have to sacrifice if you decide to follow this New Testament church model and meet together and do things? Walter?
Just like work time, like time that you could be like spending doing homework, you'd sacrifice to spend time with your brothers and sisters, basically.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Anything else? Oh, Virgil.
Maybe like even for like me time, you know, sometimes instead of being alone by yourself, you're with the family and with others.
Yeah, so anybody else? Cool. So time is, yeah, time's a big thing. It's limited. We don't have a ton of it, and people tend to be a little stingy with it. I know, myself included, I have to really think about, all right, what is my time really going to that matters? And sometimes it's difficult to pull time away from things like school. Like, oh, you know, if I spent all of my time on school, I could probably have like a 3.8, 4.0 GPA, but that's just not the case for me. I need to spend extra time where some people might not need to, but we won't get into that. time's required, energy's required. Talking to people, and like for a lot of people, takes energy. Like it just kind of sucks a little bit of life out of it. Not saying that y'all like suck life or anything. Just in general, talking to anyone is can be draining. And you're spending some of your energy for that. Could be money, because like if you're sharing your possessions, you're, you know, having everything in common, like the scripture said earlier, then you don't have that stuff anymore if you give it to someone else, of course. So you're there's an opportunity cost to this. And maybe even some conversations that aren't super intriguing or comfortable. But the key is in Acts, when they met together, it says they had glad and sincere hearts. And so not only were they happy to meet together and join each other's company, but they're also like sincerely, like legitimately desiring to pour into each other and love each other. So that's the thing, because it's weird, because like what drives a person to sacrifice their ultimate comfort for others and still enjoy it, and sincerely enjoy it, like from the core of their being. So that's where we get to John 15:13. Anybody want to get that? Andy.
Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends.
Yeah, so it's driven by love. It's not a legalistic, like, I'm gonna just force myself, even though I really don't want to go to Friday night dinner and talk to people, and I'm gonna encourage them. It's more of a, you know, you have that love, right? And you exhibit that towards other people, and that love causes you to want to show it, I guess. So it's willfully driven. But then the thing is, so love is a choice. If I don't want to love, then how do I? So if love causes me to want to, you know, build people up, encourage each other, and go to things, and then what if I don't want to love? And that's a tough situation. That's something I've been in too, where it's just like I don't have a desire to do anything. I'm just like, I don't want to. I just want to lay in the bed and not think for a while. But I still like. The key is, like, you have to, the perfect love comes from God. I think that when we really meditate on the grace and goodness of what God has given us and what he has done for us, you know, despite the fact that we were sinners, he still saved us. That really motivates, and that's where love can come from. So if someone wants to get John 4:7-9, that would be cool. Alright, Nick.
Dear friends, let's love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him.
Yeah. So when we reflect on that grace and that mercy of the sacrifice that Jesus died for us, then I think that motivates us to, of course, the scripture says that's where our love comes from, because we see that, and how can we it's hard to look at that and not want to reciprocate that love and not feel that. So it's still not legalistically or out of obligations, just because we can't help it after resting in the grace and mercy that God has given us. It's kind of like Tony often says, he's like, you know, the prayer of God, I can't right now, so will you do this through me? So, like, I can't. Sometimes I'm like, I can't be a good brother in Christ to these people right now, so Lord, I need you to do it through me, because I just can't. And I think the answer to that prayer can often come when we recenter ourselves on who God is and what he's done for us, like that says. We've been given excellent, marvelous grace. But also, on the flip side, there's still a situation where it's like, all right, so I've prayed and I'm not getting an answer. I'm still sitting at home. So that's where the balance between I want to and I have to comes in. Like, literally, there's a balance, but, like, in real life, there isn't. But So while desire is good, right, and that should motivate us, sometimes we won't have that desire, so we can't necessarily rely on that to motivate us, because if we do that, then when the desire is gone, we just won't do anything. So that's when remembering these scriptures comes in handy, of how God blesses it when we meet and how God uses us to build each other up. So that's the thing. So sometimes when we can't get built up on our own, God uses another one of us to build the other one up. So it might be necessary that you just kind of drag yourself through the door so that you can get built back up. And maybe that's how God will answer the prayer of, you know, God fix the the whole of love that's in my heart. Maybe it's going to come through somebody else, because God likes to do things with us and through us, and so he might want to use, say, I don't know, say Erica's real down, she comes, and Jason gets some encouraging scripture to give to her, and then it's just she's built back up. But if she had never came, then she wouldn't have got that. So I think God wants to do that with us and through us too. So God provides us with a good view of who we are in Christ as well. Not who you and me are, but who, like, all of us, we collectively are. So we are the body of Christ. That's one parable that's given there. And so the body of Christ has different parts, and each of us are involved and necessary for that. You don't necessarily need to look that up now. You can look it up later because it's kind of long, but and people are pretty familiar with it, I think. So, so each of us have a different function in this church body and in the larger body of Christ, too. And we've chosen to act as one organism here. We kind of need each other to survive. Like, I don't know, say, like, Jason's a lung and Naima's a lung, and they just decide, like, we're just going to ghost and, like, never show up again. that just kind of, that might put a bit of a, might be a bit of an issue, because how do you survive without two lungs? Okay, or even something like a finger. I don't know, say, finger doesn't show up and I have to be a toe, and I mean, I have to be a figure and I'm a toe, and it just doesn't work. And then you end up with something kind of like, I like that, where you're just missing parts and somebody's standing in and just don't be that. We don't want that. We don't want that at all. Because we'll notice if people are missing, because we need each other to survive. And, you need us. You need me. I need you. So it's just a thing to remember as far as how we fit together and how we are connected. And the thing is, we're also under attack. We're in a war against Satan and demons, spiritual forces of evil. So we have to fight together. And if we're missing parts, then, I mean, that's just an ineffective warrior there. God could help us overcome that. But like I said, God likes to use us to help each other out. So if we're missing an instrument to do that, then it's not ideal. So another one is, anybody like Vides? Got some good ones there. Got, hey, Josh, stop. We got, you know, it's Wednesday, my dudes. All great Vides. But the best Vide of all is Jesus. I brought this Vide, and I don't even know what I was going to do with that. But that's it. There's a Vide, too. anybody want to get John 15, 1 through 4? It starts to talk about how Jesus is the one true vine and how we're all, like, kind of maintained. Anybody got that? Walter?
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me.
Yeah, so we all continually live by Jesus. We're all continually nourished and then maintained by the Father as he cleans us, is the footnote for pruning. And it's a great thing. That's the only reason we prosper spiritually and produce results. And then that leads into John 15, 9 through 12. Anybody got that yet? Orkin, you can get it.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you.
Yeah, so when we keep Jesus' commands, we keep that maintenance and that lifeline. And the command that's given is to love one another. So it's an interesting dynamic that pops up there. Like, so we're all connected, and the way that we show that connection influences how we get built back up by God. And then that, like, reciprocates back into more love. And then it's just like a cycle of bearing fruit and more love. And just, yeah, when we participate in that, that's some major spiritual success right there. Yeah, it influences how God works in our lives. So that's the reason why I think Hebrews 10:24 through 25 says that. So I'll go ahead and read that because I've been reading a lot. So, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So it's a cycle of I'm spurring you on, you're spurring me on, and it's, you know, we're doing more loving good deeds, and then there's more love coming out to you and more coming to me, and it's just great because nobody's ever empty, because we're all emptying out to the next person and they're reciprocating it back to us. And yeah, we have to meet together to do that. And we have to be encouraging one another. And all the more as we say the day approaching, stuff starts getting weird around now, and like there's a bunch of just weird stuff going on in this world that we gotta really stand against. And we can't necessarily, it's not good to have people who are lone wolves off in the corner somewhere. Like a finger off in the corner can't defend itself from an attack. But when we're all one body connected, and we're able to fight those attacks or whatever opposition we face as the day is approaching, as we get closer to Jesus coming back. So we're in a cycle of pouring ourselves out, laying our lives down, being built up by each other. And so the question you may now ask is, so how do we do that? How can I... Like, all right, so I'm at Friday night dinner, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like, okay, so I feel like I could encourage someone. What are different ways that the Bible says that we can do that? So that's where, like, there's, like, 100 one another commands in the Bible that Emily actually posted on, I think it was Facebook at one point. You can either dig around on Facebook for that link, or you can just take a picture or something, but... There's like a list of all of them, and they're really cool. A lot of them, at least, well, I'd say most of them, have to do with how we relate to each other in the church. So to name a few cool ones, there's like wash one another's feet. You don't have to like actually wash feet, but to do something like that for someone would show you don't see yourself as higher than them. It's humility, and that you really love them enough to kneel down and do something that isn't necessarily, I guess, comfortable. Serve one another, that's a good thing. Speak truth to one another, that's a good one. Be hospitable to one another, accept one another, and confess sins to one another. The cool thing with those two is, like, confess sins to one another, but you're comfortable doing that because you know that accept one another is another one, so it all goes hand in hand, and, you will be accepted here and restored rather than pulled back down. That's why transparency is a big thing here, because we want to build each other up, and we got to know when we need to do that. So, and then be devoted to one another in love. All of those are great. So there's a song by Phil Wickham called Children of God that I really like. It's one of my favorite songs. And I think it really has a lot to say about this topic. And it's really, I guess, telling of the unity that we can have and who we are in Christ. So those lyrics are really influential to me. You know, we're believers, we're soldiers, pilgrims on a journey to reach our home. We're all headed to be with God for eternity. And we're all... have that same hope that Jesus will return and come back and take this world back, and we're the children of God. So our common goals, we have the common fight, common hope for Jesus' return means that we are unified. We have to be unified by definition, because we are children of God once we've been adopted into his family. So due to this understanding of how we're all connected, I began to live like it, began to change my perception of how I was connected to this church and how I fit in, because the reality is it's not about, you know, the worldly ways of fitting in. It's about who we are in Christ. And so after that, you know, together with you guys, we beat like sin, beat sadness, bad days. I know, like, me and Ben sometimes meet up on during the past semester, and we'll just talk because some days just suck. So we have to stand together against that and fight Satan in that way and just build each other back up. Toxic beliefs, we've conquered those. We've done all that together, and it's really an enjoyable thing, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So yeah, the New Testament church model of gathering together, discipling each other, should be a natural result of our independency and love. So the conclusion is, the thing I want you to remember is that we are connected, regardless of how you feel about that, we are. And I think that truth will influence how you feel about our connection, just the fact that we are, and all of these ways that we actually are connected. It's all really cool to realize and influential to my life, and I hope it'll be influential to yours too. So that's all I got. Lord, thank you for this time of enabling me and speaking through me in order to minister to these people, and I just pray that they'll remember these things and just be affected by them in their daily lives moving forward, and that I can be, and that each and every one of us can be pouring into each other's lives, really encouraging and spurring each other along to do more good deeds and be together more and just grow in Christ, be prudent and connected to the vine. Amen.